144. Stand as you
can. Blessed are the saints who render faithful service in the love to the Lord's dear little children as they sing those things of love. Catch your bread on the water.
Stanley K. Lord be with you, brother. Love you.
I'm taking my coat off. It's
yes,
too
please.
Hot for me. Oh. I just wanted everyone to know I do have a coat. Stand before you this morning, trusting in nothing more than the grace and mercy of Almighty God. I tell you first that I'm sorry for being late this morning. I don't like to be late. I like church. I like the fellowship. And I like to be a good example. And when we think about traveling and all of the things I have to do these days, I need to change my habits. It just seems like there's not enough time between the time I get up and the time I need to be on the road to do those things. And when we get older and more frail and you have more odds and ends to pack. Used to be I had difficulty packing clothes. Now I have handicapped gear to pack and all of those things. And I need a servant. That's what I need. And she's at home. And don't you tell that I said that. God bless her. You never know how much you lean until the leaning post is a little farther away from you than you would like. And I know that disturbed Brother Gary this morning. When you arrive at church and he's out in the street looking for you, you know you have a friend. And I know that we have a friend in Jesus who sought us out when we weren't looking for him. Just ask that you let me compose just a little bit this morning. There's not another cause in the world that I could even feel remotely compelled to do. I mean, if I had a garden today, it'd be standing knee-high in weeds and it wouldn't bother me one whit. If a grass grows up to my door, doesn't bother me much. But when it comes to the service of the Lord and fulfilling what I believe is God's call, not mistaken, I want to do it to the last ounce of whatever I have in this old body. Tell Brother Gary that I seen where they would just haul ships into a dock and just anchor them and let rust and time take them away. I feel like one of those rotted old hulks just waiting to sink. But I know that our God is able, and I know that we've gathered here now 3 days in a row, and we're tired, and we're weary. And we come and we want to acknowledge that we've been filled with good things. But we also would ask that God would cause us to know that we are ever needy.
Yes.
When we feel like we've had all that we need, then we're neglecting that there may be a lean time in our very near future.
Yes, absolutely.
That this day will supply
right.
our need.
Absolutely.
So we trust that we're still looking to the Lord, Brother Wayne.
Yes.
And that we're still acknowledging God is our Savior, and that we need Him, and that we are called on to walk after Him. One of the things that we find most disconcerting in this world in which we live is that the mayhem in Charlottesville yesterday just strikes us with the strangest. I mean, on any given trip, I mean, I have a sister that goes to the hospital down there.
Sure.
We have folks that live down that way. On any given day, you go back and forth through there. It used to be the main travel route.
Yep, it is.
And Main Street America has turned into a battleground
right.
of the most hateful kind. And if we're seated in church today and we're thinking, I don't really need to be here, or we think that I don't know if I have time for this or not, we need to get our head adjusted.
Amen.
I mean, when we have this kind of chaos reigning in the world, and we're still pursuing all of the things, the trivial pursuits in this world. We need to be on our knees in God's church all of the time that we can, begging God, guide us.
Please
lift us out of this. Lift us out of this quagmire of hatefulness and mayhem. And if you think it doesn't touch you, I can just be as stern as the next fella. If you think it doesn't touch you, then let's just go back to our ivory towers and pretend we never needed a Savior in the first place. Because that's what we're saying. When we think that because my life is okay, that the humble poor of God and those that are embroiled in these things, that they're not us. Well, they are us. You remember Pogo in the comic strip? We've met the enemy, and it's us. That's kind of where we are today. Left and right, top to bottom, from this to that, state to state, county to county, and the county I live in is embroiled right now after having five schools washed away in last year's flood. They can't come to an agreement what they're going to do with all of the free money from FEMA. Hatefulness. Big banners across city streets. Hatefulness. Never. Richwood, West Virginia is a little washed out town, been washed away, flooded away. Goodness knows how many times. The only reason there's ever a town there is because it's a lumber town. When the boom was over, the town should have been gone. When the coal boom was over, the town should have been gone. floods have washed it away half a dozen different times, but there are people that cling to it, and they're as dependent on that town as they are on the welfare that sustains it. But you cannot talk reason. It's a microcosm of what's going on in this world today, that you cannot speak reason because prejudices and disturbances and me first gets in the way. I was reminded this morning when I'm sitting on the, I needed 5 minutes, sat on the edge of the bed, and I just couldn't get my shoes on. I don't know if any of you have ever been in that position. I don't want you to ask. I mean, your sympathy, yeah, I desire it. Your prayers, I need them. But when we get to the point that it's just like, what do our old folks feel like every day? You and that are in the prime of your life, if you think, hope you don't think you're never going to get here. Because I was as strong as any of you. And here I am. You live in a tranquil place and you think, well, I hope we never get where they are. Well, I can tell you, Charlottesville has not been a battleground. Well, it has in some regards. But if you drive through there and look at the mountains and look at all of the things, why, this nice little bucolic town and place to live, and mayhem breaks out.
Right, exactly.
Men, if you think this is just a rambling message, let us remember one thing. God has told us over and over and over and over again, you cannot forsake me.
Right.
And thrive.
Right.
The nations that forsake God are turned into hell. We have cities that have gangs that are more powerful than the law enforcement in the areas, and they just have a hands-off policy because hatefulness rules in many places. And we sit in our ivory towers and say, I don't need God. I live smack dab in the middle of 13 or 14 acres and surrounded with nothing but trees and rocks. I don't have a neighbor that I could hear holler. But I want you to know that the little community where I live needs God.
Amen. Amen.
I need God.
Right.
This little quiet place on this corner has been here, I don't know how many years. The church at Happy Creek has been here for what? Since 1770. Think of all of the quietness this town has enjoyed at one time, and then think of the opposing armies that come back and forth and back and forth.
Amen.
And you think of the prejudices that live to this very day because men have causes. David said to his brethren, is there not a cause? Well, I want you to know the brother he was speaking to had a cause, and his cause was, don't you come up here and show us up.
Right.
You're just naughty. Well, the only thing that David went in the first place was to bring them food that his father sent for their good.
Right.
And he walked in that scene, and there stood this uncircumcised Philistine that was defying the armies of the living God. And it brought him to a point where he was saying, what's going on here? When you get up and read the papers in the morning and you read, and you ought to be able to say, what's going on here? I ought to, and you ought to. And if you can find a reason for it other than the fact that men have decided they don't need God. Men have hated for years. Men have hated since there's been time.
Sure.
But we look almost like the tribalism that exists in Afghanistan or somewhere in those places in the world where the strong man rules and the weak are trodden. Is there not a cause? There is a cause. This little church, it sits on the corner. The church of the living God. And I believe this is an example of it. I believe that the gospel is preached here.
Amen.
And I believe it's not a gospel according to men, but a gospel according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's the only gospel that welcomes God's humble poor.
Amen.
Took a text yesterday or the day before that says, if any man thirst, you know who said that? Jesus.
Amen.
He didn't say if any Jews thirst.
Right.
He didn't say if you're a Gentile and you thirst. He didn't say if you're white and you thirst. He didn't say if you're black and you thirst. He said if any man
thirst.
There's a qualifier.
Sure.
And that qualifier is that that man has a thirst.
Right.
And I'm telling you that it's not about natural water. It's about things that are bigger than men and themselves. There's a thousand different ways to gather water in the wilderness. Pioneers did it. There's a thousand different ways they're putting water in Africa, and men are polluting it faster than they can put it together. Strong-arm men are stealing water so the poor have to pay for water. You and I pay $2.59 for a quart bottle of water and think nothing about it. So when we consider that in this world there is all sorts of resources, but when a man thirsts after that's bigger than himself, if you want to know an answer, if you want to have some kind of peace that rules and reigns when hell is going on outside our doors,
amen,
I'm going to tell you, you won't find that at the courthouse.
Sure you won't.
You won't find that, my friends, on a mountaintop somewhere where you can be separated from everybody else. I'm telling you, what you need is a God that is with you and a God that is saying in the words of Christ that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and I'll give him water.
Right.
And he won't run out. It'll be a well of water springing up in him into everlasting life. And though he goes through dry places, I'll be water for him.
Amen.
And though he be hungry, I will be bread for him. When we think about that God that walks with us and goes where we go. My mom made a great big scene when I was leaving home. I'm the baby. I'm bigger than all of them, but I'm the baby. Every one of them supposedly knew what to do when they got away from home except the baby. And he couldn't possibly know. And when you've ever had your mother plead with you, just stay here, stay where you are, just be the child. I'll set you on the shelf with all of the other precious heirlooms and we'll be fine. And you have to say, Mom, I'm not going to be alone.
Right.
When our sons and daughters go off from home, we need to make sure that my daughter that lives in Baltimore has a message in her heart that we have taught her that she's not alone in that city. You're not alone in the battlefield. You're not alone across the seas. That we have a God that goes with us. My thoughts this morning turned to a text in the book of Joshua. They had been in the wilderness all those 40 years. They had learned some things. First of all, it didn't take 40 years to get from where they were leaving Egypt, from the sea to where they were coming to Canaan. Didn't take that long. They were there that long as a locked up punishment for disobeying God, for disbelieving God. But he kept them. I want you to think about this. Their shoes didn't wear out.
Yeah, isn't that so?
Their clothes didn't wear out. Did you ever wear hand-me-downs? What's a good thing for poor families, except if everybody in your family's little and scrawny and then you come along my size, you don't get nothing, okay? Nothing, okay? But if we think hand-me-downs is a great thing, I'm telling you, their clothes had to grow with them. Wouldn't that be correct?
Absolutely.
Those things had to grow with them. And we think, well, how can God? I'll tell you why. Because nothing's too great for the Lord.
That's the problem.
You know what he said to Asher? He said, I'll give you shoes of iron and brass. Buddy, if God gives you shoes of iron and brass, you better know your way's going to be rough.
Yeah. Right.
But he will shoe you comparable to your journey. You know what Paul says? He says that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. You have mountains in your face. You have hills to your left and hills to your right. And you have that sea before you. God will see you through. When you think about all the things that God did for his children in that wilderness, that their clothes didn't wear out and that they grew. I had an old friend, a young friend of mine whose dad was a Pentecostal holiness preacher. Fiery. I liked to stand about 20 yards away from him and talk to him. I didn't like to be real close, okay? I mean, he was vehement. But you know what he called those ones that survived the wilderness? Desert babies. He said they could endure anything because they had seen God's deliverance every day of their lives. You think about that. So that 40 years they spent there because they couldn't go across. That when Joshua went through the camp, he said, make ready, in 3 days we're gone. And you know what? In 3 days they were ready. They didn't waste no time. He said, when you see the feet of the priests, you go down in there and you follow them. And there they were going. And the first thing he told them is, he said, when you see the ark, I want you to stay 2,000 cubits behind because you've never been this way before. And I want you to see and to follow where it goes, you go.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that when you come and you go in the way of the Lord, you need to remember that we need to understand this very thing. We've not been this way before. Our Lord has gone the way before us. When I stand before you at nearly 70 years old, and I see the things that you and I have seen with others, I know one thing that awaits me. And that's the cold, cold graveyard. But you know what? The Lord showed me how to go there. The Lord has made that way. The doorway, not to nothingness, not to a sleep, not to any of those things. God has shown me that that is a doorway to heaven's pure world. That I must pass through that. As those children pass through Jordan, and he says, you follow the ark. You've never been this way before. I'm telling you that God brings you into his kingdom. And he tells you that you follow me. You've never been this way before. I don't want you to follow men. I don't want you to follow family. I don't want you to follow any. I want you to follow me. What did he say to the rich young ruler? He said, well, I want you to find a group that you can live with. And I want you to go with them. No, he said, follow me.
Right.
When he said for you to take up your cross, who did he say to follow? Follow me. And by the way, that ark that went before them was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It, you know what it had in it?
Yeah.
It had the ark. It had the testimony. It had the tablets of stone. Not the broken ones.
No.
Not the broken ones. It had the repaired. Not the repaired ones. It had the ones that God made and gave them. You know what else was in it? Aaron's rod that budded. I had a preacher one time from Tennessee come and he said, "Now I want you to think about this, that they all went out and got this rod when they was trying to think who's going to be the high priest." And he said, "They just brought in these old dry sticks." But you know what happened in the morning? Aaron's rod budded.
Yeah.
And it blossomed.
Yeah.
And the bloom blooms.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know what? Christ looked like an old dry stick when they put him in the tomb. But I am telling you that while his blood was poured out, and he gave up his life as a sacrifice for me and for you, and he poured out his soul unto death on the third revolving morning, he budded, he blossomed, he bloomed, and he bore fruit.
Amen.
My friends, that is the thing that was represented in that ark. Everlasting bread to eat.
Yeah.
That if a man eat and not die.
I'm the bread.
I am the bread. I am the true bread. I was in the wilderness with you.
Right.
I was simply exemplified in the bread that you ate.
Right.
But I am the bread.
Right.
I'm not a type. I'm the real deal.
Right. Amen.
And when we consider this, that Paul says into the Philippians to work out your own salvation, there are people in the world that think that, well, I got to get myself saved. I sat on the edge of my bed this morning thinking, I wish I could get saved from all of this drudgery that's just killing me. But Paul is talking about saved. That when we think about what God has put in us, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's go back to that ark. They were not allowed to get too close to that ark, which represented God. Do you remember at one point in time when they decided they would move that, they just got some men to carry it around? And it got jostled on the new cart that they put it on, and Brother Ziba is that his right name? I can't remember. Can't think who it is. He just stuck his hand out to make it steady. No. You know what happened? He died. He died. There's just some things that men need to understand. Even in the types, God would not allow his people to become so familiar with him that they would put themselves on one accord and they could do it their way and not his way.
Right, exactly.
And he said, don't do that. When they put that ark, when it was captured by the Philistines, and they put it in the same place where Dagon was,
yeah.
Do you know what? They went back to see Dagon and boom, he fell over.
Right, exactly.
Cut his hands off. And then from then on, they were all, who was it? Weren't they all wouldn't step over the threshold because they was afraid it would cripple them?
Yeah.
We just don't want to be so familiar with God that we can approach Him through anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I have access to God through the Lord. I have a command in the Scripture to come boldly to a throne of grace. But I know who has made that way for me.
Amen.
I know who has shown me that way. And you just think about the Son of Glory. That when He prayed, He said, I know that Thou hearest me always.
Right.
But He prayed, listen, how much ought you and I to pray? if the Lord of glory, who was verily God and verily man, and had never, ever in his existence, never, ever been out of tune with God, and yet he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine." Dreading those things. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is not the fear that you would have if you walked into Charlotte in that place. This is not the fear that you would have coming before some tyrant here in the world. This is not the trembling. This is the reverential fear of God.
Amen.
The whole duty of man, Solomon says, is to fear God and keep his commandments. I could tell you this, that as a grown boy, as a boy growing up, then, you know, I could face a principal, okay? I could face any tyrant teacher there ever was. But you want my heart to melt, march me in and let me stand before my dad. You know, I had two things going against me. I loved him. Oh, I didn't want to disappoint him. And one frown from him just brought me to nothing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that we might walk before him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. Hi. When I think about working out the salvation that God, Paul says, "For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do." You know, sometimes I see a thing to do and I don't have much will for it. Sometimes we don't have what we think we need to get it done. But he said, "God worketh in you both to will and to do, not of your pleasure, of his pleasure."
Amen.
You know, it seems like we always find energy for our pleasure. You know that? But do we have the will? Help us, Lord.
Amen.
That we might walk the way that you would have us to walk. And when we consider that we're to walk in fear and trembling, this is filial fear. The fear that says, "Abba, Father."
Amen.
The fear and the reverence that bows our knee before him. And so when he has commandments for us to follow, just think of those little sheep that he set on his right hand in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. We said, "Well, when did we do this?"
Right.
He said, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my little ones, you've done it to me."
Amen.
Quietness, calmness, following what? Answering something in their heart that they didn't put in there.
Right.
Quietness, meekness. What are they doing? They're following the Lord's example that lives in their heart. You've never been this way before. You go in and you follow that ark, and I'll show you the way. I will be your guide. When we walk in this Christian journey, you're going to wake up mornings, I'm going to wake up mornings, and we're going to have the same kind of questions that we have this day, lots of days. And they will weary us. And we will throw our hands up and we will say, "Why?" And we will expect men to answer for us. And they cannot. There will be 1,000 stories written about what happened in Charlotte. There will be 1,000 stories written about this latest political campaigns and 1,000,000 more. And men won't be able to tell you why. And they will not agree on even some distilled issues. because men have causes. But David said, is there not a cause? And who did David's cause see to be the greatest of his life? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you the greatest cause there is in this world for me and for you is to serve God.
Amen.
The greatest cause that a man ever walked in was to walk humbly before God.
Amen.
And it doesn't take riches to do it. A widow with two mites,
yes,
did it. A widow woman who didn't have anything but enough meal for her son and her to have a cake and to eat it and die, did it. A poor old broken down Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus did it.
Yep.
My grace is sufficient.
Amen.
There were fishermen that were not learned in anything except traditions. They did it.
Amen.
And there have been century after century, generation after generation of those that did it because God was mighty in them. And God has not left Himself without a witness. And if we've never been this way before, keep our eyes on Him and follow Him. That is the direction I should walk today. And there's not a greater cause in this whole wide world today than for men to look up to God and plead that He would guide and direct us. Show me the way. God bless you.